at bohmglobal.com. And it's time for Station ID. All right. So welcome back to the second hour of Living the Good Life right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries and almost hitting our 600th show. That's September 23rd. Nan, Angel, PJ, mark it down because our whole radio team and those in our other states, Idaho, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Michigan, Indiana, going to be with us, the gang, so, and the Florida gang, too. So we're going to have a great show on September 23rd, commemorating our 600th show, which is really almost impossible to believe, Pastor Jim. It really is.
That is for sure. I mean, when you think that that's how many years of this now?
We're in our 12th.
Yeah, I mean, that's just incredible.
Yeah, we hit our 11th year in April, so that was the anniversary, and so we're in our 12th. Kind of cool. And Angel, you and I talk about it sometimes, how when you first decided to go yard with me, and you were like, I don't think I can do that. I've never been on the radio. Well, you certainly don't sound like somebody who's never been on the radio.
Yeah, well, that's you're watching in action the power of the Holy Spirit
there
inside
you go.
Of me.
That's true. Good
me
point.
That boldness and that,
good.
You know, to do what I never thought I could do.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. And that's how God works in our lives, guys. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going over to Revelation chapter 1 because it was because John was one of these that was baptized in the Holy Spirit that day on the day of Pentecost, along with the other disciples and along with the other members of the 120 gathered there. It was because of that that he had this amazing vision of in Revelation 1. And I say that, and I just felt like we got to go to 2 Chronicles 5 first and explain the 120, and then we'll go to Revelation 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, if you're just joining us, this was an amazing time in the book of Chronicles. It was a time when they understood the amazing value of worship. And we just said in the book of Acts, you see that 120 gathered together. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, down in about verse 11, the priests left the holy place. All the priests there were consecrated regardless of rank and assignment. All the Levites were who musicians were there, Asaph, all these guys, and their families dressed in their worship robes. Cool. The choir and orchestra assembled on the east side of the altar. They were joined by how many priests? 120 priests blowing trumpets, and the sound of the trumpet is picked up in the book of Revelation. Interestingly enough, trumpets had everything to do with the walls of Jericho coming flying down. The sound, the obeying the instructions of God. This choir and the trumpeters made one voice of praise and thanks to God. Orchestra and choir in perfect harmony, singing and playing praise to God. They were singing, yes, God is good. His loyal love goes on forever. And this is what happens when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, folks. You fall in love with worshiping God. You love to praise. We got some heavy praise going on this morning at Beacon of Hope. It was wide, blowing the windows out. Then a billowing cloud filled the temple of God. When people got in unity, when they had unity of purpose, when they began praising God together, when they were playing their instruments and they were all on the same page. Yes, God is good. His loyal love goes on forever. The priests couldn't even carry out their duties because of the cloud, the glory of God that filled the temple of God. Pastor Jim, you want to say something about this before we get to a song?
Yeah, literally, that means, I mean, they were praising God, the glory cloud, the very presence of God filled that place. And literally, it says they could not stand up to minister. They couldn't perform their work, so they were flat on their faces or flat on their backs.
That happens when you get the Holy Spirit all over you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think some of the, I mean, I'm sure they backed out of the temple, but if anybody had stayed behind, they would, like, it's like you'd walk into the cloud and you just...
There's that glory cloud again.
Yeah, you just go under.
Woo!
You know?
And sometimes in services, people fall out under the power of God. They can't stand up. They have no power left because God is so powerful in them. Shekinah means the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, just where it's all over you, right? You know what song I'm going to do. We did it twice this morning,
A Beacon of Hope. I wonder what she's going to play.
I've just got to do it. I was going to do something else, and God said, no, let's go back to that song. I love it. By Martha Munizzi, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, Holy Spirit, fill this room. Make it personal for you.
Lift up your hands wherever you are and just begin to worship and magnify Him. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Kind of glory, sweet perfume. We need your presence. We need you. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Holy Spirit.
Spirit, fill this room, fill this radio show, fill our lives individually, mighty God, with your glory, glory, Lord, as we worship you for who you are. Holy Spirit, fill our lives anew. I don't know about you, Jim and Angel and Nan, but I'll tell you what, that song is just all over me today. That is what we need. We need God to so, so fillest overflowing, Angel, that we are just, we're different. We're not the same as we've always been. We're living in another dimension. You know what I'm talking about, girl?
Oh, yes, I do know what you are talking about. Because we are. We're living in the spiritual dimension.
Yes. And it's because when we say with an open heart, God, I want all you have for me. I want more of you. I want to be so filled with you that people understand, whoa, there's something going on there. What is that? That's different. Kindness, sweetness, love, joy, peace. Interacting with that kind of peace and joy. It's mind-boggling. It's show-stopping. It's life-changing.
It absolutely is. And, you know, when we ask for more of God, he gives us more of him.
Oh, that's such a good point.
That's so amazing. You know, we can ask for certain gifts from our families or relatives for our birthdays or whatever, but we may not get it. But God doesn't work that way. When we ask for more, he's given us more.
He even said in Luke chapter 11, if your child asks for a fish, piece of fish, or
will you give him a stone?
Will you give him a stone?
A piece of bread. Will you give him a stone?
A fish.
A snake if he asks for a fish?
Right, exactly. And that's talking about your favorite song is Good, Good Father, which is, Angel, is because God is that good. And so, dear friends, all you have to do is say, God, I want this Shekinah glory, the glory of God on my life. I want people to know there's something different about me. I want, and John was like this. John was the disciple that wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the book of Revelation. John was that one that was the closest to Jesus at the Last Supper, that leaned over and he had his head on Jesus' shoulder or on his chest. And he was right there beside him. And John knew how to worship. He was John of James and John, right, Pastor Jim?
Yes.
The Zebedee twins, the Sons of Thunder, they called those guys because they were just like hellions. You know, that's not a good word. They weren't hellions. What's a great? They were.
Yeah, that's kind of good. They were called Sons of Thunder.
Yeah. They were wild men.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a good example is in the Luke records this. They went to Samaria and the Samaritans refused to hear Jesus' testimony.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, can we call fire down from the heads like Elijah did?
Yeah. Can we kill him? Because they won't listen.
And this is John, the apostle of love, saying this.
Right, exactly.
Mind you.
Well, and yesterday was the royal wedding. It was just absolutely magnificent. If y'all missed it, you need to watch it on something. But the pastor there, the Episcopal pastor, just spoke the words of John through the book of 1 John, where he's talking about God is love. And what a powerful sermon for a wedding that should change this world. And he said, what if love really did rule this world? What if we did behave like that? And here is John worshiping God on a Sunday morning. Revelation starts out with John, this guy that wrote about love and understood it, worshiping the God of love. And God says, you know what? Let me give you a little foretaste, a little picture, a little dream, a vision of what it's going to be like. And we learn so much about the second coming of Jesus through these words of John in the book of Revelation. So, Pastor Jim, comment. I have no question to ask you. You just go with it.
Well, I mean, just a quick little background. John was on the Isle of Patmos because he'd become a thorn in the side of the emperor. And he was the only disciple that was not, as far as we know, that was not martyred. John lived out his, you know, a full life, and probably wrote the Revelation toward the end of the first century. So 60 years or a little more maybe after the crucifixion. So John was an old man by this time. I mean, he was a pretty old man. I love this book. Most people are scared to death of it. I just love it because there's more than... Most people just think Revelation, ooh, end of the world, judgment. There's so much beauty and so much about Jesus and so many songs in here. I mean, it's great. And John got this vision. And I think it's cool that John got, you know, who gave us the wonderful gospel. He gave us the revelation. An angel came to him and gave this to him.
Right.
And... I don't know what else to say. There's just, without going into the entire book.
Oh, I know. Let's go down to verse 9. I, John, with you all the way in the trial and the kingdom and the passion of patience in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of God's word. This is Revelation 1, 9, which is what PJ was just talking about. The witness of Jesus. It was Sunday, and I was in the Spirit praying. Okay, why was he in the Spirit praying? Because he'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit that we've been talking about today. Because he was praying with the power of the Holy Spirit. And suddenly he hears a loud voice behind him, a trumpet clear and piercing. Write what you see into a book. Send it to the seven churches. And he names them. I turned and saw the voice. Now, this is fascinating to me because he gets this amazing picture of the end times.
Well, and a voice like a trumpet.
Yeah.
You know, we've mentioned trumpets already in this show. And remember when God came down on Mount Sinai, it says the sound of a trumpet was heard, and it just kept getting louder and louder and louder. God's very presence came down, and it was announced with trumpets. What's going to happen? There's going to be a series of trumpets, judgment trumpets. And at the last one, when that last one blows, is when Jesus comes back and takes us with him.
Amen. Woo! I'm not sure what verse it is. I saw a gold menorah. What verse would that be?
12.
Revelation 1. We're going to see four aspects of God right here in these next couple verses. I saw a gold menorah with seven branches, and in the center, the Son of Man in a robe and gold breastplate. That is his priestly nature right there. And you can find out more about that in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, and so forth. And so he turns and he sees this Jesus standing there, and he's dressed as a priest, okay? Okay, well, what do we know about Jesus? He is our great high priest, right? It says that he sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. We see this nature of God right here, the priest. And you can look up in your own time, Hebrews 9, 11 and verse 14, and it will verify this. And he was in a robe and gold breastplate, and his hair was a blizzard of white. Now, that is the judge aspect right there, the judging, okay? A lot of the, in the times, in a couple hundred years ago, it was famous for the judges to wear a white wig, okay? That's symbolic here. And this John 5:22, that's a verse you can look up about that. But you see the judge nature here. Eyes were pouring fire blaze, both feet furnace fired in bronze. Whoa, that's quite a, I mean, can you imagine seeing that? You turn around and this is what you're seeing? This spectacle here, and then the next one, his voice in it, and it says in a lot of translations, like the sound of many waters. Here we're seeing this sound was so amazing. And that's the prophet nature here talking. The prophet nature, because that voice was declaring. And we see this when the power of the Holy Spirit, the prophetic moves, the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the last one here, his voice, his right hand was holding the seven stars. His mouth was a sharp biting sword. His face, a perigee of sun. And that's that kingly nature, which you see Jesus being that king, the prophet, the judge, the priest. That is who it is. In other words, this figure that he saw was all of that. And that's what Jesus is for us. He is the king. He is the priest. Talk about that, PJ, if you like. This is just such a beautiful picture.
It is. And most of these, John quotes scripture out of Daniel. Because Daniel also had a vision of the Son of Man.
He did.
And
similar.
Yeah, very similar. I mean, that's where Daniel or John gets a lot of these quotes. You know,
yes.
Obviously, he's seeing the same person.
Right.
Because he's quoting directly out of Daniel. And I love it. Yeah. He's our priest. He's the one who made the sacrifice
for us. Yes.
He's the judge. Yeah, our sins have been judged right. at the cross.
Right.
You know, the prophetic part. I love that, you know. And then out of his mouth went a sharp double-edged sword.
What is that
Hebrews
talking about?
Hebrews 4:12. The word of God yes. is sharper than any two-edged sword. And, you know, I think that's why I love, you know, people would say, well, this is, how can you take this literally? Well, okay. This is just saying in human terms.
Right.
What John was seeing. I don't think Jesus opened his mouth and some big old sword came out.
No.
But he spoke the word, and John was referring right back to Hebrews.
To Hebrews, what was written.
Just the glory. I mean, we see in the next verse, when I saw him, I fell down at my feet as a dead man.
Of course.
The same thing that the priest
yes.
did when the glory of God entered the temple.
That's where it connects, right here.
John
yes.
saw this.
Yes.
Saw this vision of Jesus glorified. That's,
right.
That's exactly what he was seeing.
Yes.
Was Jesus glorified. You know, and up to that point, all he'd ever seen of Jesus was Jesus kind of wrapped, you know, Jesus in his humanity.
Right.
You know, the word became flesh. Those are John's word. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. They got a glimpse of it.
Yes.
At the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like, I don't know, for our listeners that may have seen maybe a Lord of the Rings geek like I am. It's like when Gandalf, having fought the Balrog, threw off his gray cloak and was nothing but shining white.
Okay, I've never seen it. That's kind of how I see this.
John caught a glimpse of it at the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yes.
It's like Jesus let him have a little peek.
Yeah.
But here, all bets are off. I mean,
wow.
He's totally glorified. Nothing's held back. And what does John do? Boom, falls at his feet
falls
like
at
a
his
dead
feet.
Man.
But it goes back to what we've been talking about this whole show. When we get to a point where we want more of God and we want to walk in the fullness of God and we are praying and we are spending time before God in worship, you never know what God's going to say to you or what kind of a dream or a vision or a picture you're going to see that's going to direct you. There's been so many times in my life where because I was under that anointing, that presence of God, that Shekinah glory, God began to give direction for my life, or God began to give me peace in a certain area. In this case, what is happening is John is so in worship and in prayer, and he turns and he sees a likeness that teaches him all about the transfigured, the glorified Jesus. Angel, talk to us. This is mighty wonderful stuff.
It is absolutely mighty, wonderful stuff. I mean, just trying to vision the glory,
woo!
The full glory is just totally amazing to me. And, you know, it's true. When we sacrifice, when we give up our lives to seek what God wants for us, for his fullness, for his purpose, for his, you know, desires, we can't even imagine where
we
it is
can't.
He's going to take us.
No, And so often I think people like discount, people say, well, I had this dream and it was life changing and it was God speaking to me or directing me a certain way. Just like with Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, right? I mean, he just kept getting dreams of what to do with Jesus and, okay, it's time to go to Egypt or, okay, it's time to come back from Egypt or this and this. And so often I think that people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit begin to understand a depth of God's communication with us through the Word, God directing you to a passage that absolutely opens your heart, and you go, oh, there's my answer right there. Oh, my gosh, I'm just reading this, and there it is. And it comes alive to you. You know what I'm talking about, Angel?
Oh, I absolutely know what you're talking about. You know, and it can come through his word, it can come through a song, it can come through a person, and usually he confirms it. At least that's been my experience because
yes.
I'm slow. So sometimes I gotta
you're
make sure it was
slow.
God.
You're hardly slow.
I gotta make sure it was really God. But
yeah.
once I know that this is God, like there is like nothing somebody can do that will talk me away from it. I'm not feeling fearful or afraid. I'm feeling like excited.
Exactly.
I know.
When you get the mind of God, the will of God on a situation, it does that for you. It is that covenant thing of you go, oh, there's where we're headed. That's what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lord, for that reassurance. And it's when we're stumbling along in our own strength and just kind of trying our best to make it through the day and not, you know, not doing it with the power of God. Talk to us about that, Angel, before we get to this next song.
Yeah, so when we use, like, our own selves to make our decisions, we hesitate. We're not sure. We're fearful. We have anxiety about what this is going to look like.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things I hear from a lot of Christians are, I just don't hear from God. He doesn't do that for me.
Yeah, he doesn't speak to me.
And my question is, do you let him? Do
right.
you stop and listen
yes.
in his presence? Are you looking for him to answer you? Are you filling yourself up with, you know, distractions and time with all kinds of other stuff? You know, he's not going to scream. He's a gentleman.
That's right. And when you go to bed with an attitude, let's say, and you're falling asleep and you begin to pray and you're quote unquote in the spirit, you know, you're like really talking to God. God, I just want more of you, or whatever it is you're saying to God. And then sometimes I've had them, they're not very many in my life, but I have those spiritual dreams that give direction, or I see something very clearly about a situation. I wake up and I know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. Or this happens a lot to me when it comes to what I'm supposed to teach. Okay. And like, I taught something very different today than the approach I was really thinking I was going. Because when you're just flowing in the spirit, you allow God, right, PJ? You allow God to just take over and do it for you. Give
right.
you wisdom.
And, you know, I can certainly identify with that teaching thing.
Yeah.
If I don't have a peace, because that's happened. I remember,
right.
I think the last time it happened was last year before we started meeting on Sunday morning, but I was going to be teaching over at the hotel.
Yeah.
And it's like I had something all ready, but it just didn't sit right.
Right.
And then, you know, I waited on God, and sure enough, boom, there it was.
There it is, and that's where it is. Spirit Fall, Chris Tomlin. Let's let the Holy Spirit fall on us today in a very new and powerful way. As this song is played, it's a good moment for you to talk to God. Let these words minister to your heart. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Spirit fall. That's all we want. That's the cry of our hearts. Oh. Man, give us a poem. God give you something?
Yes, now's the time to read it.
All right.
Holy Spirit will fill your heart. The baptism of Holy Spirit can be yours. Trust that He will come into you. That is what you are now to do. Your life will never be the same. You will have such happiness within. Of this relationship, do you desire? Of this awesome relationship, you can begin.
That's good. That's really good. We can. We can change, can't we, Pastor Jim? We can become more like Christ as we allow His Holy Spirit to invade our space and to bring those suddenly moments in our lives where we are just like, whoa, now I see it clearly. Or, oh, yeah, I've been praying. Or now I've been trusting you, God, and I get it. I get where I'm going. Or I understand what you're doing here.
Yeah, and we mentioned it, and I think Angel mentioned it before about the timing. You know, we want it now.
We do.
We think Jesus should come back. Well, I'm sorry. I thought Jesus should have come back in 1973, right after I got saved. But that didn't happen, and
right.
Here we are.
Yeah.
But God's got His time. And that sometimes is a hard thing because, and I think that's another aspect of as we get to know God, as we learn of Him, then we just get to understand he's not ruled by our concept
That's
of
right.
time at all.
That's exactly right.
And I know one of my big things is, you know, I want what I want it now, please.
Yeah.
And that's probably not ever going to happen because, you know, God knows everything. He knows
right.
when it's going to be best. Well, an example would be Nan's poem.
Right. That was the right time for it,
yeah,
right then,
that was
not
the
earlier.
Right time. That's that kairos
yeah.
moment, that
right.
opportune
to
time.
Moment when it fits perfectly.
Right, where it fits.
Right.
And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we know where it fits, where we fit in the body.
Right.
Where things are going to fit as they unfold in our lives. Because I'm sure that if God had shown me when I got saved, or even when I got filled with the Holy Spirit a year later, everything that was going to happen in my life from
right.
that point on,
oh, yeah.
all at once, instead of unfolding it step by step.
Exactly. We couldn't handle that.
No, I probably would have said, no, ain't going to do this.
Well, that's a really good bridge to the people who get so hung up on the book of Revelation and prophecy that they can't talk anything but that. Have you ever known those, Angel? Any of those?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Why did she look at me when she said
no,
that?
I wasn't looking at you. No, my family was very much like this growing up, and it was all focused on, you know, trying to predict the date and the time and the schedule and, you know, when he's coming back, that they were so focused there that they weren't living for him today.
That's it. That's it right there.
Too heavenly minded to be any earthly good.
That's right. Go ahead, Angel. That's exactly right, PJ.
So that's that was the faith that was modeled to me, was, you know, revelations and all this prophecy and deciphering codes and whatever. And I would watch them and would they, you know, they didn't feed the homeless or take
right.
care and do the things that he called us to love and to do it today. You know, and I learned that I just need to worry about loving him with all my heart, soul, and mind and loving his, you know, people like, you know, and that's it. And the rest of the details is up to him to figure those out. It's not up to me to decipher.
But as that pastor said yesterday at the royal wedding, I can't get over that sermon. I've listened to it fully twice, and it's just one of the most powerful ones. Because when we really understand the life of love, it is full of power. It is not full of wimpiness, PJ. It is not roll over and let everybody stomp on you and break you down. The life of love is powerful.
Amen. And just touching on what Angel had said, because I've been there. I mean, I've been her family, basically.
I didn't know you two were related.
Well. but I mean, you know, after I first got saved, everything was Bible prophecy for me.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, it's easy to get hung up on that.
Yeah.
and ignore
yes
everything else. And, you know, Paul wrote, the greatest thing is love.
It is.
You know, that's the greatest thing. And expressing that through works, through good
yes.
works.
Yes.
And because that's how the world, I mean, that's exactly what Jesus did.
Right.
You know, he had compassion, and usually there was a miracle right after that.
Right.
That's how it's supposed to be with us. And yet, if we're still so focused on, ooh, what's going to happen next, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, when we moved the embassy to Jerusalem, everybody was freaking. Jesus is going to be coming back right now because we just moved the embassy to Jerusalem. No. Okay, there's a few more things probably got to happen first.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people, too, get so, they're so afraid of the book itself,
right.
in particular,
right.
you know. They don't want to hear anything about Bible prophecy.
Right.
Okay, there's, you know, that's the other extreme. No, I don't want to do anything with it. We are called to know. We're
right.
called to watch and to know the signs. But not to get so hung up on it. And in my own life, I mean, I was terribly strict, dogmatic about the book of Revelation. It had to be interpreted this way, and there ain't no other way. I don't care what you say. And As I've walked in the Holy Spirit, and I mean, I've read the book of Revelation probably almost every year for over 40 years, it's like I've loosened up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Right.
I can clearly say I don't know, and that's okay.
That's
and
exactly right.
You'd have to know me, you know, when I first got saved. I was so rigid and black and white, you know. Everything was one way or the other, and that came down to how I viewed prophecy in the Bible.
Right, sure.
Everything had, I mean, this is how it worked. I mean, I could
you could draw us a chart. Huh?
I could outdake on that chart, I tell
right,
you.
Right, I bet you could.
And the more I've read it, it's like, well, no, this, you know, maybe this doesn't fit here. And
right. But again, it's stressing over those details that we don't need to be doing.
Right. And I'm so much freer.
There you go.
You know, there's so much freedom. And it's the same thing. I used to do this thing around the Trinity. And if you'll remember at Ball State, where we went to school, the
yeah.
Way.
Right.
Victor Paul Weird Willie.
Oh, yeah.
Was really big. And they are non-Trinitarian.
Right.
They are Arian. They don't believe Jesus was fully God. Well, I got in arguments with them all the time, and I thought I had to have the whole Trinity thing mapped out. And you know, I love the church fathers, studied them like crazy, and I still love them. And yet, you know what? The Trinity's a mystery.
Right, it is a mystery.
You know, everybody was fighting over the wrong things, you know, through all those church councils and stuff. It's a mystery. It is what it is. There's three people in one God. I don't know how to explain it, and that's fine. And for me, that, this may just sound weird, but that's okay.
It is okay.
I mean, I don't have to know all the details about the Trinity or about Bible prophecy. I don't have to know this happens and then this happens 2.5 days later and this happens a week later and all that. I mean, I've seen people get that nutty about
it. Oh, I have too.
I don't have to know. All I have to know is the Father knows the day.
That's it. If we go to Revelation 3:10, I think it's going to really make that point you're making. Because Jesus says this, to John, remember this vision, because you kept my word in passionate patience. And that's really what God calls us to do. Revelation 3:10, keeping his word in passionate patience. I'll keep you safe in the time of testing that will be here soon. All over the earth, every man, woman, and child put to the test. In verse 11, Jesus says here in this prophecy, I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. Keep a tight grip on what you have so no one distracts you and steals your crown. In the New American Standard, it says, let no man take your crown. Okay? Don't let anybody take your crown, all right? And then in verse 12, I'll make each conqueror a pillar in the sanctuary of my God, a permanent position of honor. Then I'll write names on you, the pillars, the name of my God, the name of God's city, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, and my new name. Are your ears awake? Listen, listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. I believe that what he's saying here is, let's just listen with your spirit. Mm-hmm. Let God speak to you. Don't get hung up on Bible prophecy to the point that you kind of fall out of love with God. Keep falling in love with Jesus. That's what this is all about.
Well, I was going to say, that's a lot like the letter to the first church, Ephesus.
Right.
They had the right doctrine, but they'd walked away from their first love.
First love.
I mean,
right.
And you can have all the doctrine in the world, been there, done that.
Right.
But if you don't have love, quoting Paul again, I'm like a clanging gong.
Right.
You know, a clashing cymbal.
It's all about love.
What good is it?
Right.
You know, Jesus said, I have this against you. You know, you've lost your first love.
Right.
And what does he tell them to do? Remember where you were before you fell and turn from this sin and do what you used to do before.
Right. In other words, get back to your basics. Get back to focus. Refocus. Right. Dr. Angel, talk to us.
Well, you know, I find that people who tend to get more rigid, especially when it comes to, like, things of God, it's the lack of relationship. The more relationship we have, the deeper that relationship
goes. Oh, I so agree with that.
But, you know, so it's kind of us trying to take control over God. And as we develop that relationship, that we lose that rigidity and we start to have that relationship and have trust in his relationship instead of having to be so black and white, which is a growing process, is a maturing process, I think, that happens naturally. Unfortunately, some people don't get to that maturing process.
Oh, thank you, Jesus, I did.
You know, when there are
that's
a lot,
such
and they
a good
do
point.
Damage
Go ahead.
When they don't get there because they hurt people in the process.
Oh, they're so black and white, and they're so, you're going to hell because, you know, blah, blah. And they're commissioning people to hell, they think.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I just think when we get hyper-focused on any one part of who God is, we're out of balance.
Right.
You know, and there's hyper-focus on prophecy. There's hyper-focus on all kinds of different things, rules and regulations, whatever it is. We're missing pieces of God. We need the entirety. That's why we not just get in the Word. We're praising. We're praying.
Yes. We're hearing.
We're, you know, that's what it's about.
That's what it's about. And when we're doing the whole thing, and that's where the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so critical, because when we are saying, God, I want more of you today. I want more of you tomorrow. I want you, your character, to so live in me that people are going, what's different about her or him? What is going on there? And you can smile and say, all I know is that I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. That song we sing at the nursing home when we go. Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Angel, how can you do that? Tell us.
Spending time with him.
That's it.
That's just it.
You can't be in love with somebody you're not in relationship with.
Right. You gotta spend time. Yeah, because how do you know them? You know them by spending time with them, right? You know whether or not that spark of love and connection is there. Our spark, our connection with Almighty God grows mightily the more time we spend with him. There is no substitute for being in the Word of God. There is no substitute for praising God. There is no substitute for spending time like John was doing right here at the Book of Revelation, spending time in the Spirit, praying. And all of a sudden, God just opens up this huge picture and panorama. Mm-hmm. Talk to us, Angel.
Well, you're right. There is absolutely we cannot afford to not spend time with him. You know, there isn't a substitute for it, and we have to make it a priority. But, you know, and I think sometimes we don't think of God as a relationship, and he is. And if it's your best friend or your spouse or whatever, it's a two-way communication. It's not a one-way communication. Some people will say, oh, I pray, but God doesn't, you know, talk to me, because they're not taking the time to let him talk to them.
They're
not
listening. Yeah.
And so it's just practicing. I mean, if you're in a relationship, that's time, energy, effort, communication, and that we're making him a priority in our lives.
Absolutely. Woo, I love this song by Terry McCallum. Oh, the glory of your presence.
And you're here, Lord Jesus.
Worship the God with us. Worship God with us during this time. Church up in here. Hallelujah! The glory of your presence, mighty God. We love your presence, mighty God. We love spending time with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Nan, you got something there?
Yes, ma'am. Your presence that I feel now means so very much to me. I will praise you with all that's within. I now understand. I now see. Fill the place within my heart. That's what I ask you of you. I want all that I can have. I want to be so wonderfully full. You know, and they were singing in the song of Fill This Place, and we always think of it, Fill This Place as church building where we're meeting.
Right.
But this place is our heart.
It's our heart. It's our heart. You're so right, Nan. And it is us saying, okay, God, I surrender to you. Because I want to be all you want me to be. Because I see that going on my own is not really doing much for me. I need talk to us, Angel, about that, and then we'll go to Pastor Jim. We're coming up on the end of the hour, guys.
Well, anytime we try to do something on our own, it doesn't usually work out very well for
right.
us. And we know that, except we're stubborn because we're humans and we try more often than not to do it on our own. And it's when we yield it, when we surrender it, when we, you know, and God will let us get over our heads just to
absolutely.
Show us you can't do it on your own.
He loves that, doesn't he?
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Some of us need more humbling than others. I do.
I think we all do in so many ways because we kind of, we buy the lie of the enemy. Oh, you can fix this on
yes.
yourself. This is too big. I mean, this is too
is
little.
Too small for God.
This is too small
yes.
for God.
Why
you
bother did, him
there
with
you
this?
Go. That's the lie of the enemy. Talk about that, PJ. And
well, and
for
it's,
those...
easy. It's easy to fall in to just... First of all, it's a practice of trust.
It is.
In the big things and the little things. Because I'll guarantee... I mean, well, we know. The parable of the servants. You were faithful in a little, now I'm going to make you faithful
right.
over a lot. It's
That's
the
right.
same thing here. We have to be faithful in those little things and walking in him in the little things, because that's what's going to lead to walking with him in the bigger things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I mean, I know it's easy. Well, Lord, I can do that on myself. I don't need your help.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me just handle this one thing, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just hold on to this one thing. Well, that one thing is soon going to grow and become a number of things or one very big thing. And it just messes up your relationship with the Lord. And like Angel, it's like, I know these things, and yet I am certainly not immune
right.
to falling into that trap.
Well, and so often by trying to fix it ourselves, we're really diminishing in our minds the power of God and magnifying our ability to figure it out. Angel, talk to me about it. Go ahead. Jim's got a response.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, it's like, it can breed a little bit of pride.
Oh, it's pride. Pride goes
because
before a fall.
Look what
yeah.
I did.
Look what I did.
You know, I did this.
Yeah.
And in the garden, God wanted Adam and Eve to be utterly dependent on
yes.
him.
Yes, yes.
Utterly dependent.
Utterly.
And yet...
they weren't.
He gave them one command. One command. Don't eat of this tree. They could eat of the tree of life all they wanted to. They just could not eat of the one tree.
Right.
Because God was to be the one.
Yes.
That through our spirits.
Right.
You know, through our relationship with him, he would lead us. He would guide us. He would show us right from wrong. And yet they chose to independently try and find that out. Well, they listened
yeah.
to the serpent. But they chose to independently try and find that out. And it's... we've all followed in their footsteps.
Oh, well, yeah. And it's so easy to be like that, Angel.
Well,
go ahead, Jim.
Well, I say the promise, you know, the quote-unquote promise that Satan gave them was, you'll become just like God,
yeah.
knowing good
yes.
and evil. How often do we hear that today? Oh, you're little gods.
Yes.
Or you have God within you and all that kind of garbage. You know, that New Age stuff. But people still buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, you become like gods.
Again, trying to magnify our own importance instead of magnifying God. Angel.
Well, it just goes to show us it's human nature. It was around from, you know, the beginning of Genesis and all the way through, and we still experience that part of our human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
we
about,
do.
You know, our free will. And God, are we willing to surrender and give it to God?
That's what it's about, surrender. It's all about surrender. And so with all that said, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you right now for what we've been talking about today. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the songs that have encouraged us. We thank you, Lord, for the knowledge that we need to seek you and allow you to so fill us that our lives are changed forever, turned upside down for your glory and for your praise, not for our glory, not for us getting attention, but for you being magnified, mighty God, not for us figuring it out on our own, but you being the one that leads and guides and teaches us what we need to learn through life's times of trouble and testing and difficult times. Lord, we just give you one more time. We surrender to you.
Amen.
Our desires, our ideas of how things should go in our lives, and we say, Lord, we want to have you. You so fill us to overflowing that our lives are forever an example, a light to others, a light in darkness. Joy, love, peace, giving it out of us to affect as many people as we possibly can, because we want to be full of you, God. We desire to be full of you, your nature of love. God is love, and that is what we desire to be. So, Lord, bless every listener. Thank you for this time on the air. We love doing these shows. We thank you for this opening that you've given us to be able to teach the word week after week. Thank you and praise you from the bottom of our hearts. Touch every listener in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're almost there. Final word, Angel, and then we'll go to PJ or the other way around, whoever's ready to go first.
Well, again, I just have to say, I can't believe it's 4:56.
Right.
I mean, wham. But yeah, the important thing is, you know, if our listeners haven't heard anything else today, it's know the Spirit.
Yes.
Know the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit.
Right.
It'll be an adventure that will change your life.
It will totally and completely change your life. Why not have a life change, no matter how old or how young you are?
Amen.
Dr. Angel.
Yeah, I definitely think that I want to encourage our listeners to just, you know, surrender, you know, and ask for more of God. Really make that the prayer of your heart.
That's exactly
more
right.
Of him.
Because when we make that our prayer, he answers and he will bring.
Absolutely.
Oh, hallelujah. We'll look forward to having you join us again next Sunday afternoon at this same time right here at 3 p.m. Eastern on TanTalkNetwork.com. If you've missed any of our shows in this series or you want to just go back and listen to do a binge marathon, you can do that right here at TanTalkNetwork.com. Go to podcast, go to Living the Good Life, the name of this show, or you can go to our website, which is www.bohmglobal.com. Stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, bohmglobal.com. And go to the radio broadcasts, and they're there. Hundreds of them are there for you, most of them with titles. So get there and enjoy them. And don't forget to use our prayer line. Just Betty or Pastor Jim or Shell will pick up a prayer request, get it out to the prayer team, and we will see what God does, because he will do. He will answer prayer. He will do it. So prayers at bohmglobal.com. If you want to be a part of the radio ministry through donations, just go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and go to the homepage and go down to donations, and it'll open a page for PayPal. You can give for these radio shows. That's what the money goes for. Not for salaries or anything else, just for these shows. God bless every single one of you. This has been my wonderful associate pastor, Jim Ellsbury, Dr. Angel Falzone, my co-host on our Thursday night Go Yard show at 6:06 p.m., Nan Watson, and me, Pastor Marcia, bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope Ministries. It's not far to Jesus. See you soon. It's not far.